From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch. Now, here's your host, Weekend Edition producer, David Salkeld.
Hello and welcome to Washington Watch Live. I'm David Salkeld, host of Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, and over the next few days, I'll be sitting in for Tony Perkins and bringing you the best interviews that were aired here on Washington Watch during 2018. And you can keep up with everything we do here at the Family Research Council over at TonyPerkins.com. Also, as we are getting ever so close to the close of 2018, I want to remind you that your financial support helps keep this program on the air. So if you can help us out financially, just click on the Donate tab when you're at TonyPerkins.com or give us a call at 800-225-4008. Also, let me remind you of a couple of things that we've got going on here at Family Research Council that you're going to love. First is our Stand app. It's our way of staying in touch with you on the important issues facing the nation, and it's your way of staying in touch with your representatives in Washington, D.C. on the issues that matter the most to you. The second item is our Stand membership. Tony encourages you daily to take a stand for your beliefs, and in that spirit, we're asking you to take a stand with us. And when you become a Stand member, you'll receive benefits like a copy of Tony's book, No Fear, quarterly devotionals, and even the Standing in Faith monthly teachings by Tony. You can find out more about both of these at TonyPerkins.com. A little later on in the show, we'll be hearing from Jeremy Tedesco as he and Tony discuss the Supreme Court ruling on the Masterpiece Cake Shop. Also, radio host and National Rifle Association spokesperson Dana Lash will join Tony to talk about the impact social media has had on her family's life. But first, back in August, FRC President Tony Perkins was joined by the House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy of California to talk about the rising concerns surrounding social media giants like Facebook and Twitter, and whether or not they're censoring conservative voices. Here's Tony Perkins.
The president over the weekend, raising further concerns about what social media platforms like Facebook and Twitter are doing to conservatives. They are essentially censoring conservative thought, and in particular, those that are supportive of this administration and this Congress. Now, given the fact that more and more people get their information from social media, this is a factor coming into the election. But the president's not the only one that recognizes it. Of course, we've talked about it on the program. But other Republican leaders weighing in on this as well. And joining us now is Congressman Kevin McCarthy. He is the House Majority Leader, and he represents the 23rd District of California. Kevin, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, Tony, thank you for having me on again. I sure appreciate all that you do for our country.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate the fact that you're drawing attention to what is becoming an increasingly, I think, a threat to the dialogue, the conversation that Americans are having about important policy decisions, but also just the general direction of our country. And I think you're recognizing that along with many of your colleagues.
Well, I'll tell you, I got on this, and I'm from California, so I'm a little maybe more in tune. You know what social media is able to do? Social media is a wonderful thing, but it also allows ISIS to recruit. But what's happening here is we're finding these companies, and you just had this week where Jack Dorsey with Twitter, he acknowledged, he says, we're more liberal. This is a guy who apologized for eating at Chick-fil-A.
Right.
Okay. And so there's some real concerns because how people acquire their news and information today, and it's kind of a freedom of expression. Let me give you a couple quick examples. If you had Googled the California Republican Party 2 weeks before our primary election, you know what they said our ideology was? It wasn't the party of Lincoln or the party of Reagan. It was Nazism.
Mm.
And think about what Amazon has done. So many of us buy on Amazon, but what is it called, that Amazon smile where you can
right.
pick a nonprofit to send? Look what they did for the Alliance of Defending Our Freedom.
Right.
And they allowed Southern Poverty to say that they could no longer, or Amazon should no longer give them money, and they're defending our religious freedom. Think about what the case they just won from Colorado of the baker, 7-2.
Right, and we're going to have Mike Ferris on, the president of ADF, here in just a moment. So you're absolutely right. I mean, this is an organization that argues before the Supreme Court.
They defend us before Supreme Court. And there's a lot of conservatives who shop online, and it's just like you can pick a nonprofit, and they were always on there as a nonprofit. So, hey, I want some of my money to go there. Now they kicked them off. You can't even select them. Then think, I just had something the other day. So I'm on Twitter, and comes up that Laura Ingraham, she put a tweet up about over in Sweden that the conservatives can win about immigration. Well, Twitter, I have the selection that says sensitive. They describe that as sensitive, so they would not show me that tweet from Laura Ingraham. So what they're doing is they're picking it by an algorithm, says that is sensitive if you talk about immigration or a conservative issue. So it's denying the individuals, and that's what has a real concern to me before we get into an election, and most definitely before we get into a presidential election. Because remember, they had one worker in, was it Germany, who took down the president's Twitter feed itself. And think about what's happened to so many other people. Think about what Candace happened to her. They took her off Facebook and other. Or a candidate running against Jim Acosta, Elizabeth. Her family escaped Cambodia because she put a testimonial about the atrocities in Cambodia and why they left. Facebook and Twitter would not let her show that commercial. You would see that TBS or anywhere else until we complained. That's my concern. How many things don't get shown that we don't know about and aren't complaining about?
And Kevin McCarthy, here's the dilemma for conservatives. If we were liberals, this wouldn't be a problem because, well, first off, they wouldn't censor us if we were liberals. But secondly, if we were liberals, we wouldn't mind using government to force them to do what we want. But as conservatives, we respect the marketplace. We respect individual freedoms and choices. But when increasingly the social media giants are holding themselves out as a type of virtual public square, that comes with some responsibility. How do we get them to see that?
What I think has to happen here, and I was just on a conversation with a couple CEOs of these companies, they need to show transparency. They need to show the country and be very, yes, it's an algorithm, but who writes that algorithm? An individual writes that algorithm. And if these are based more in Northern California, are they going to be more philosophically based? Show us how that algorithm works. Why would it pick Laura Ingraham, because if she talks about immigration, why is that marked as sensitive? Give us a transparency of what's going on so there's trust on all sides. That, to me, and then let the marketplace go where it may.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing. Is, in fact, we've seen this with Facebook over the last year and a half, where they've repeatedly changed that algorithm, which has affected the distribution of content and obviously the size and reach of the organizations, entities using it. So I think you're right. People would like to know, all right, let us know what the rules are so we can play by the rules.
Exactly. And then you look at Google and you put in a search, and then it'll show you, well, if there's something about Trump, and they'll show you, they'll pull up all negative things and something positive about Hillary. You watch that going through. Give us transparency in what's going on so everybody understands.
Now, Congressman Kevin McCarthy, you mentioned Jack Dorsey, CEO of Twitter. He is slated to appear before the Senate Intelligence Committee first week in September to discuss the Russian election interference. I think also we can have Facebook and Google executives there as well. Do we foresee him making an appearance before the House to talk about some of these issues?
We have had an invitation of him. I believe he's going to give us a decision here very shortly, but I believe at the end of the day he'll be there. And I'm going to give – now, philosophically, I disagree with Jack, but the one thing I have found with Twitter, they're more open – and I think it would be a very good hearing to sit down and talk about these algorithms and others.
Well, I guess, I mean, this, we see this, you know, in the world that which we live increasingly where, you know, we're fine with open discussion, debate even, because we feel very strongly and passionately about our ideology and that the facts that we hold back it up. The left, apparently not so much so, because some of the stuff they're reaching for is indefensible. So they just want to shut down the discussion. They want to eliminate conservative voices. And I think that's what the president is drawing attention to, because, quite frankly, this administration working with conservatives in Congress have accomplished quite a bit in the last 2 years leading into this midterm election. And I don't think we can count on the media to be talking about those positives that are going to be encouraging to conservatives.
Well, day after day, Tony, you see that. Think about this. In the last 49 years in America, unemployment has only been below 4% 8 months in those 49 years. And 3 of those 8 months happened this year. I mean, it's unbelievable economic growth, but would you... Day after day, you get these reports. I mean, the billions of dollars saved because of the tax cut, the amount of economic growth we have found for in every category of who you are as an American. They don't talk about that. It's always some other controversy that's coming up. Or think about this. When it comes to the VA, the GI Bill is no longer 15 years or you lose it. It's now a lifetime. You know, you got the Choice Act out there. Look what we did about combating human trafficking, modern-day slavery. Right. You know it right. So well. We're 100,000 kids. And every year, 70% of that happens because of the Internet. With the bill that we passed this year, and I was in the Oval Office with the president when he signed it, No Survivors, Backpage, one of the worst sites possible, is now shut down and they're being prosecuted. Mm-hmm. One of those people just pleaded guilty the other day, Craigslist, others. And what they were able to do now, one DA told Ann Wagner that like 82% of those sites are now gone. But we're not talking about those success or what we did to combat opioids, the largest that any Congress has been able to do about that. We've got some really good successes here. And the thing that I always say when I see this, I just want people to stop the bias. Do not have bias and put your personal philosophical beliefs. And I'm arguing for somebody on the other side. They can argue against me philosophically. Yes, let them go up in their feed on Facebook of what they believe or not. Let's right. have a debate about the power of the ideas. But don't shut mine down because you disagree with me.
I agree with you 100%. And that's what I think conservatives are asking for. They don't want to use the power of government to shut down anybody, which I cannot say for the other side.
Exactly. I mean, there was a person that put out the most unbelievable comments, and he's running for Congress against Melania. Our first lady, what he said, was just offensive. Now, I see in those situations that you take them off for a while. I mean, you should not be able to have that type of talk, what he said about her around. Yeah. But well, you know, I'll defend everybody else. There's still a point.
Well, we have to be civil in our conversation, but just because you hold a view that's different than someone else does not reach a level of you being silenced because someone disagrees with you. Kevin McCarthy, out of time. Thanks so much for joining
you.
Us. As always, great to talk with you.
You're listening to a special Best of 2018 edition of Washington Watch Live. You can find out more about Kevin McCarthy when you head over to TonyPerkins.com. While you're there, why don't you consider donating to the work of Family Research Council by simply clicking on the Donate button. When we come back, Dana Lash joins Tony to talk about how Twitter deals with death threats. We'll be back with more of the Best of Washington Watch right after this.
This Christmas, give a gift with purpose. Your gift to Family Research Council enables us to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Together, we will work to ensure religious liberty for all Americans is upheld, unborn babies in the womb are protected, and biblical values are honored in our country. Your giving can make an eternal difference for your community and for future generations. And if you give between now and December 31st to FRC, your gift will be doubled by a generous challenge match. Any donation is tax deductible. Be fruitful in your gift giving this season. Call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/2018 to donate. Again, that number is 1-800-225-4008 and frc.org/2018. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Blessed New Year.
We're inviting you to join other like-minded people and become a Stan member. We want to build stronger relationships with listeners like you and provide resources to strengthen your faith and equip you to stand for the values that matter to you of life, marriage, and religious freedom. By joining this growing network of engaged believers, you'll receive a copy of Tony Perkins' book, No Fear, detailing courageous Christians standing for truth. And for a limited time this month, we will also send you a copy of Pastor Carter Conlon's book, It's Time to Pray, that illustrates how God's power can change everything. Take action today and become an FRC Stan member for $17 a month. That's just 56 cents a day. To join, call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/stand. That's 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/stand. Thank you for partnering with us. The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Welcome back to this special Best of 2018 edition of Washington Watch Live. I'm David Salkeld, host of the weekend edition of Washington Watch, sitting in for Tony Perkins as we highlight some of the best interviews from the past year of Washington Watch Live programs. And you need to know that you make this program possible through your prayer and financial support. And you can join the team of supporters by going to TonyPerkins.com or you can give us a call at 800-225-4008. As you heard from Representative Kevin McCarthy in our previous segment, social media companies like Facebook and Twitter have been under a lot of scrutiny in the past few months for, among other things, their algorithms and why liberal comments, no matter how outrageous, are accepted, while at the same time conservative thought is worthy of suspension from their platforms. Political commentator, NRA spokesperson, and Values Voters Summit participant Dana Lash joined Tony Perkins in August to discuss a particularly vicious attack from the left.
She received death threats against her children on Twitter. But the tech giant initially said the threatening tweets did not violate its policy. Is there a double standard for conservatives in how they are treated in the social media world? Here to answer that question is Dana herself. Dana, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you for having me, Tony. Good to be with you.
Hey, I look forward to seeing you at the Values Voter Summit here in a few weeks. You're always great, and so looking forward to that. Let me just say this. I mean, as a parent of five children, and I know your husband, and I know you guys, you're just a great family. When people start talking about your children, I mean, that takes it to a whole new level. I mean, this is pretty outrageous. Did Twitter respond in the appropriate way?
I don't think that they responded in a way that was consistent with their terms of service, nor do I think it's consistent with what Jack Dorsey has said previously when he's discussed the issue of consistent application of terms of service on Twitter. It's sad that it even has to get this far. It's sad that it happened in the first place.
Right.
The idea that that anybody has to pay this kind of price or have this kind of discussion just because they're advocating for a particular issue or sharing a political thought is insane. They initially, it's crazy because when you compare what they did initially to this individual, and how they've treated other conservatives in the past and how they've, for instance, Kathleen McKinley, who had her account temporarily suspended simply because she did nothing more than share a very well-written, very rational and thought-out, really thoughtful column. as to her view on transgenderism, et cetera. And apparently that, you know, triggered some individuals, and she had her account temporarily suspended.
Yeah, there was no attack. By the way, I read her post. There was no attack whatsoever. And just saying that transgenderism in the military, in particular, she was focused on, makes no sense, and the cost associated with it, and her account was locked for violating standards. But threatening to kill or saying that someone's children should be killed, that doesn't violate their policy?
Yeah, exactly. Apparently that didn't violate their terms of service. And so many people reported this particular account, and Twitter apparently, you know, ignored it when we reported it. They finally responded and said that it didn't violate anything. Then, of course, there was, you know, public pressure, which began, which it shouldn't take public pressure.
Right.
The only reason there was public pressure is, you know, because I have a platform. I'm on radio. I do television commentary, and other people noticed it, and it went from there. If I was just some regular, average, everyday mom, which I still am, but if I didn't do radio and I didn't do television, I doubt that there would have been any kind of public pressure at all, which is a real shame that you have to have. It to be on air nationally. Now, here's the thing that I wanted to point out that people don't know about this yet. It will be coming out in the Daily Caller. Previously, Jack Dorsey has always talked about Twitter algorithms, and he has said that it is, it's about activity, and it's not real people back in the offices of Twitter that are pressing buttons. Which apparently someone had to do that, because Twitter then announced that they had re-reviewed when they sent that email to us. They had re-reviewed this account back in 2016. Because this isn't the first time that I've dealt with this, and I don't even share the most serious ones online. Back in 2016, someone put my phone number and home address and photos of my house on all over Twitter. And this individual called my home, called my private number one evening around 11 o'clock at night, and was so threatening both on Twitter and on the phone that we had to have the police come out to the house immediately. And we were working with law enforcement on this issue. And I haven't spoken about it publicly, and I mean, yet until now, but they began an investigation, and they submitted grand jury subpoenas to Twitter, but Twitter refused to acknowledge the subpoena, and they wouldn't release any information despite the grand jury issuing the order. Now, at this exact same time, someone on the very far left, a gentleman named Kurt Eichenwald, who lives in the same Dallas area that I do, had received a threat on Twitter, and Twitter immediately cooperated with him and law enforcement and released all records of the offending account. This goes way beyond algorithm. This is about active bias, and I've been consistent in that. I've never called for the government to regulate any of these platforms. They are begging for that to happen themselves, because they are not, which all I've ever asked for, and others, they are not actively and consistently enforcing their terms of service for all users.
Yeah, I mean, I am against anyone advocating for violence, right or left. I mean, that has no place in a republic. You cannot maintain civil society if you're threatening violence because you disagree with people. So that should be the line, but that's not the line. It's an ideological line that is very subjective, and we see it time and time again, whether it's Twitter, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Google. And I think the president is absolutely right. When the president says there is bias, there is bias, and I think your case is a prime example of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Bias, and, you know, it comes down to the question of who actually owns the digital public square, and it's about corporate censorship. It's suppression of speech simply based on ideology, and to allow, you know, to sanction this stuff by silence. And I think that that's what it is when you allow this behavior to occur, and when it's not treated equally. In many ways, I personally feel that it encourages that behavior, because these individuals don't feel that there's any deterrent. Anonymity has given great courage to individuals who have more zeal than knowledge and more zeal than compassion. And this is a result.
And in many ways, Twitter and Facebook provide a shield of protection for the left who are advocating violence against conservatives.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Dana, thanks so much for joining us. Look forward to seeing you at the Values Voter Summit coming up.
Looking forward to it, Tony. Thank you.
You're listening to a special Best of 2018 edition of Washington Watch Live. You can find out more about Dana Lash when you head over to TonyPerkins.com. While you're there, why don't you consider donating to the work of Family Research Council by simply clicking on the Donate button. When we come back, Jeremy Tedesco joins Tony to talk about an important Supreme Court decision that was handed down back in June. We'll be back with more of the Best of Washington Watch Live right after this.
This Christmas, give a gift with purpose. Your gift to Family Research Council enables us to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Together, we will work to ensure religious liberty for all Americans is upheld, unborn babies in the womb are protected, and biblical values are honored in our country. Your giving can make an eternal difference for your community and for future generations. And if you give between now and December 31st to FRC, your gift will be doubled by a generous challenge match. Any donation is tax deductible. Be fruitful in your gift giving this season. Call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/2018 to donate. Again, that number is 1-800-225-4008 and frc.org/2018. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Blessed New Year.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld, host of the weekend edition of Washington Watch, sitting in for Tony Perkins as we bring you a special Best of 2018 edition of Washington Watch Live, recorded earlier this year. Don't forget, you can learn more about all of our guests, as well as donate to the Ministry of Family Research Council when you head over to TonyPerkins.com. Also, if you can, consider becoming a stand member. Tony encourages you daily to take a stand for your beliefs, and in that spirit, we're asking you to take a stand with us. And when you become a stand member, you'll receive benefits like a copy of Tony's book, No Fear, quarterly devotionals, and even the Standing in Faith monthly teachings by Tony. You can find out more about both of these at TonyPerkins.com. Well, in June of this year, in a 7-2 decision, the U.S. Supreme Court overturned a ruling by a Colorado Civil Rights Commission in the case of Baker Jack Phillips. Here's Alliance Defending Freedom Senior Legal Counsel Jeremy Tedesco with Tony Perkins.
Today, the Supreme Court granted a victory to people of faith, in particular to Jack Phillips. In a 7-2 decision, they said that the Colorado Civil Rights Commission essentially violated the rights of Jack Phillips, the owner of the bakery there in Colorado, basically showing hostility to him for expressing opposition to same-sex marriage based upon his faith. In fact, one of the commissioners said that Phillips' Christian beliefs on marriage were despicable. This was a commissioner. Now, Phillips, owner of Masterpiece Cake Shop, it was a narrow ruling, but a ruling favorable toward Jack Phillips and religious freedom nonetheless. With us now is Jeremy Tedesco. He is with Alliance Defending Freedom, senior legal counsel with him, and they represented Jack Phillips before the Supreme Court. Jeremy, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks for having us on.
All right, 7-2 decision. Obviously, Jack Phillips is very, very elated to have such a decision. But it was a pretty narrow opinion by the court.
Well, you know, that's definitely the opposition's talking point. And yeah, this ruling vindicated Jack. The court certainly reserved other issues in the same context, brewing over the same issues for another day. But You know, I think the most important thing is that the government, the Supreme Court reaffirmed the principle that the government should not be punishing people or targeting people of faith. That's it has no place in our society for the government to do those things. And, you know, here we had a Colorado Civil Rights Commissioner, one of the people that sat in judgment of Jack's religious freedom claims, saying that she found religious freedom to be a despicable piece of rhetoric. You know, and that plus other aspects of hostility and targeting of Jack's faith ultimately led the court to the right decision, which was that Jack Phillips should prevail. And it's a great day for Jack Phillips' religious freedom.
Well, as you pointed out, the Supreme Court did, I think, I would say, call the commission onto the carpet with their open hostility toward religious freedom. I think my personal view of this is that that was, you know, in the era of Obama, where it was, you know, it was fashionable to attack Christian views. And I think the court got, the commission rather, got caught up in that. And I do think when the court here in this decision, going back to the Constitution, where you have a stated, enumerated freedom of religion, freedom of speech, that they have reaffirmed that in this decision. So from that standpoint, it is a very, very positive decision. And you can see the other side is very concerned about that, because once again, it is going back and solidifying that First Amendment freedom.
Well, yeah, and you, but you have to understand, too, that the ruling, you know, it was based more than on just the hostility towards Jack. You know, that open hostility you saw from the commissioner. It was also based on the fact that that Colorado was unequally applying its law. So those bakers who favored same-sex marriage weren't forced under the law to create cakes with messages opposing same-sex marriage. But the state was requiring Jack, who opposed same-sex marriage, to create cakes celebrating same-sex marriage. That kind of uneven enforcement and application of the law is also an aspect of, you know, lacking religious neutrality, what the court was talking about, that kind of targeting of religion. And the state's going to have a really hard time avoiding that. Any state's going to have a hard time avoiding that, because they're not going to want to punish the people who have views that the state favors. And so, you know, that's why the First Amendment exists, to make sure that, that those kind of free speech favorites are not allowed by the government. And so, you know, I think the ruling is very encouraging. I think people of faith, regardless of their faith background, who believe that, that marriage is between a man and a woman, were rightly asking the question, is there space for us in this society anymore? And this decision sends more than just a message to Jack Phillips. It sends a message to all of us, all people of faith, that we do belong in this society, that the respect and tolerance the First Amendment demands applies to us as well. And I think we can all be encouraged by that.
Jeremy, we're up against a break. Can you stick around 2 minutes so we can come back? I've got a couple of more questions I'd like to ask you about this case, where it's going, what in terms of this decision, how it might impact other cases that are out there. Can you stick around?
I can stick around.
Great. Jeremy Tedesco with Alliance Defending Freedom is going to be stickering. I hope you will as well. We're going to continue our look at the Supreme Court's decision, 7-2 decision, and the Jack Phillips masterpiece cake decision handed down today. Also, we're going to be taking your phone calls in the next segment, so don't go away. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. We're back in just a moment.
The world on our horizon is like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect. This Christmas, give a gift with purpose. Your gift to Family Research Council enables us to advance faith, family, and freedom. Together, we will work to protect life, marriage, and religious liberty in our country. If you give before December 31st to FRC, your gift will be doubled. Be fruitful in your gift giving this season. Call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/2018. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Blessed New Year.
Don't miss your opportunity to join other like-minded people and become an FRC Stan member. Join today and you'll receive empowering resources like Tony Perkins' book, No Fear, and for a limited time, Pastor Carter Conlon's book, It's Time to Pray. So become an FRC Stan member for $17 a month. That's just 56 cents a day. To join, call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/stan. Thank you for partnering with us for the sake of America.
You're listening to a special Best of 2018 edition of Washington Watch Live, recorded earlier this year.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, at T Perkins, as we mentioned, we are broadcasting live from the Ark Encounter in northern Kentucky. It's a part of the Answers in Genesis Ministry, the Creation Museum that's been around since 2007. Great destination for the family. Anyway, we're going to be here today. Tomorrow, we're going to have Ken Ham back with us tomorrow to talk more about the ministry here and the attack on the First Amendment. And of course, that's related to this case today, the decision handed down today, and the masterpiece cake. Case with Jack Phillips, and joining me is Jeremy Tedesco, senior legal counsel with Alliance Defending Freedom, who represents Jack Phillips. All right, Jeremy, thanks for sticking around. All right, the application of this, how is this going to impact other cases that are out there as it pertains to wedding vendors?
Sure, that's a really important question. You know, first and foremost, for Baron L. Sussman, the florist in Washington, whose case is right now pending before the U.S. Supreme Court. We should probably hear within the next couple of weeks how the Supreme Court will handle her case forward. You know, they could grant review in her case and reach the issues they didn't reach in Jack Phillips' case. They could deny cert and just deny the case. I don't think that's likely. Another possibility is they will send it back down to the Washington State.
I think we may. There is.
Assess the decision in the basis of masterpiece. And so, you know, we're going to see how that plays out. But there's five or six other cases in the lower courts moving up to the Supreme Court where this case will also have an impact. It doesn't reach those cases specifically because the court reserved a lot of the issues that are involved in those cases for a later day. But what it does is create an opportunity for us to go up and have the court reach the bigger issue, the broader issue about creative expression and whether the government can compel artists to create speech they don't want to create.
But clearly in this case, if I'm reading it right, they did reaffirm the First Amendment freedom of religion.
Absolutely. It's a free exercise decision. So, you know, it's been a long time since the Supreme Court issued a ruling finding a violation of the free exercise clause. So this is an important decision. It breathes more light into the free exercise clause, and again reaffirms that the government can't bully and harass people and push them out of the marketplace simply because they want to live consistently with their religious beliefs about marriage. That's one of the things that's so important about living in America is it's a pluralistic society. We have to be able to respect our differences, have tolerance for our other beliefs. And, punishing Jack Phillips and pushing him out of the marketplace is no way to achieve that kind of tolerance.
And also, this was a 7-2 decision. This was not a 5-4 decision. This was a 7-2 decision, which it makes a statement in and of itself of where the court came down on this.
Right. 7-2 decision. It garners 7 votes. Two of justices are considered more liberal joined the majority opinion. And so, I think that the court was really troubled by the manner in which Jack had been treated and what they perceived to be religious targeting. And, I'm very glad that 7 of the justices were bothered by that treatment to the extent that they are willing to, reverse the decision against Jack. And this creates freedom for Jack. It creates space for him in society to live a life that's consistent with his religious beliefs and to just be an authentic Christian. And that's all he wants. Jack is such a good man. He's such a decent man. These are honorable convictions that he carries with him in every interaction in life. It's just this one piece of his faith that is right now countercultural. And one of the things that makes America great is it's big enough to fit people in it that might have dissident views, might have views that aren't necessarily, within the realm of the majority. And if that happens to be the belief that man and women should be the only participants in the marriage institution, then so be it. The First Amendment provides Jack Phillips and people like him protection and freedom, and they belong in this society as much as anyone else.
So, Jeremy, in your opinion, does this then put these civil rights commissions, they go by different names in different places, but they've been used to really target Christians, especially in these cases of marriage. Yes. Does this put them on notice that it's not open season any longer on Christians and religious freedom?
Well, I think it certainly does. And look, I've been talking to people, Christians in the wedding profession for a long time, about these situations and why it's important for them to do everything they can to avoid being brought in before one of these commissions. Because what happened to Jack in this commission, the religious hostility that the commission showed, is not any kind of new or unique story. We see it again and again from these commissions. For whatever reason, they seem to exist to find discrimination, as a matter of course. And it's almost like the verdict is in before you even get a hearing. And so that's what Jack experienced. Other folks in these same kind of commissions have experienced the same kind of hostility, open hostility. So even if the commissions are on notice and they kind of maybe try to bury it a little bit or, shroud it, I think, in the end, it's going to be, they're still going to be motivated by that religious hostility, and it's just a matter of rooting it out. But again, you don't have to have the kind of open hostility that existed in Colorado to have a lack of neutrality, to have targeting of religion. There's targeting of religion comes in a lot of different forms and flavors. This happened to be an egregious example of it.
Well, and I didn't even mention the fact that the commission ordered Jack and his employees to basically undergo re-education, indoctrination on
right.
these issues. Was that brought up before the court? Was that issue discussed?
Yes, it was in our briefing. I think we even mentioned it in an argument. And that was one of the more troubling aspects of the ruling. It's not only did they have to go through re-education, but which would have been bad enough if it would have been showing up at government offices to be educated. But they actually told Jack Phillips he had to provide that education. And so Jack was being told by the government that he had to re-educate his own family members. One of them was his mom, who had taught him his religious beliefs. He had to teach her that her religious beliefs were illegal discrimination in Colorado, and he couldn't run his business any longer consistent with them. So there are a lot of really egregious aspects of what Colorado did, and that's why I'm saying, you know, the hostility towards religion, the targeting of religion, that lack of neutrality the court was concerned about happens a lot of different ways. And so, you know, you're going to hear the other side say, well, this is incredibly narrow, and it's just when there's this open hostility. But that's not true. This is a case about, you know, the government targeting people of faith. And like I said, that is in lots of different forms, lots of different flavors. And it's important. It's an important reaffirmation of the principle that people who have these kind of faiths have to be able to live by them openly in our society and be respected and tolerated.
Absolutely. One final question for you, Jeremy Tedesco, and thank you so much for joining us today here on Washington Watch. What's next for Jack Phillips? What happens next?
Well, you know, we're going to go through an exciting round of media interviews and other opportunities to talk about his case and just educate people about what it means. And then we're going to evaluate what the next step is for Jack. You know, he's going to need to get back into the wedding industry. He's lost 40% of his business because the state forced him to choose between creating cakes that violated his conscience and creating, you know, no cakes at all. And he just couldn't create any if he had to create ones that violated his conscience. And so he's going to get back into the wedding industry and, you know, hopefully breathe life back into Masterpiece Cake Shop. And I hope ultimately, you know, there's this financial toll, but there's also this huge emotional and spiritual toll that has been, you know, his family has suffered. You know, there were days his wife wouldn't go to work. She was so afraid of the threats and things targeted at their business and the hateful and vile phone calls. I mean, hopefully those things start to go away now and they can return to some kind of normalcy in their life.
Well, we appreciate the work that Alliance Defending Freedom did in representing Jack. Of course, Jack, courageous in seeing this thing all the way through. He could have walked away from it. But he didn't. He understood the underlying important constitutional principle and, of course, ADF standing at his side. So, Jeremy, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right. Jeremy Tedesco with ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, we're going to take your phone calls now. I've got a few minutes left, and if you want to weigh in on this issue, your thoughts on today's Supreme Court decision and the Masterpiece Cake decision, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Are you encouraged by the court reaffirming religious freedom and the exercise of that religious freedom? It's, you know, it goes back to the previous administration where they used the rhetoric, the freedom of worship. They supported the freedom of worship. Well, in their minds, the freedom of worship is what you do within the four walls of a church. That's not the historic view of the freedom of worship in this country, and certainly not in Scripture, where Scripture, you know, Paul was very clear about whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all unto the glory of God. And the founders of this country understood that our work, of course, this is a part of the Protestant work ethic, that our work was an extension of our worship, what we did. And so the idea that you had religious freedom, doing everything, you know, teaching your children, engaging in your work activities, all guided by your faith, a very critical, essential freedom. And so from that standpoint, I am very encouraged by the court, once again, in a major decision upholding the free exercise of religion clause. Even though it's, you know, come under tremendous attack in the last decade, led by the previous administration. But, you know, the LGBT community seeing religious freedom as a barrier to their redefinition of human sexuality and gender and everything else. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Patty in Richmond, Virginia. Patty, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello.
How are you today?
I just wanted to... I'm fine. How about you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good. I just wanted to know, I know that the baker won his case today. Will he get any compensation? I believe he lost his business.
Well, he did not lose the bakery. He essentially stopped doing wedding cakes. He did other types of cakes, but because he was going to be forced to do same-sex wedding cakes. And what happens is there's targeting. And that's why this comes about. These LGBTQ couples choose to go after these Christian bakers to make, quote-unquote, examples out of them. So they just, these bakers quit doing the wedding cakes. Or what I think is actually more effective, and we've seen done in a couple of cases, that these vendors say, okay, I'll do them, but let me just let you know that all profits are going to go to organizations that uphold natural marriage. And that kind of that stymies business from that crowd a little bit. But no, there's no reimbursement for him. It's a matter of rebuilding. And that's why I say that Jack Phillips was courageous in doing this, is that he was doing this not just for himself, but he was doing this for all Americans. And even those Americans who are not religious and do not value the First Amendment, he was defending it by essentially putting his livelihood on the line. So, unfortunately, Patty, it's a matter of for him of rebuilding. But he was very confident in trusting the Lord that he'll be able to put all those pieces back together, and the Lord will bless. And I've seen that many, many times over. Patty, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening to Washington Watch. 866-372-7234, the number to call to get in on the conversation this afternoon. Masterpiece Cake case coming down today, 7-2 decision by the United States Supreme Court. Jack Phillips, the owner of that, being vindicated. In fact, the commission, the Civil Rights Commission there in Colorado, their open hostility toward his faith, calling it despicable, essentially rebuked by the court. Let's go to Houston, Texas, where John is on the line. John, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, thank you, Tony, so much for everything you do.
Well, thank you, John. Appreciate that.
I wanted to make one point, because every time we have a victory like this, it feels less and less like a victory, because we had to struggle so much to get to this point. And I know God's in this. But my point is, I watched on the Morning Joe one time a video where they had brought a panel together, and they went through the four aspects of the history of homosexuality in our country. And they said, we've overcome the educational and the legal and the social. Our last hurdle is to make this not a sin. And I kept thinking, okay, how are you going to do that? Because sin is sin, and we're not going to back off on this. And what I didn't realize at the time is they're going to attack us. And that's exactly what they've done and will continue to do. Tony, they're not going to stop. It's going to be a battle until Jesus comes. And we have to stay strong for this very reason, because they're trying to redefine what sin is, and we cannot back off on what sin is.
John, we got to leave it there. We got to leave it there, John. We're out of time, but you are absolutely right. And a reminder of that is I'm here in the Ark Encounter. Nothing new under the sun. We must stand for the truth, speaking the truth of God with the love of God, with the hope that others will come to know that love. All right, until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6. When you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.